edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about COVID update with Dr. Reed Sheftall, and I'm praying that it's a benefit and a blessing to you, but I think I need to insert a little challenge from the Scripture. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thy own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So as we talk about the fake, false, phony things that's been taking place on a global basis, and especially here in America, and most pointedly about the medical affairs and our being lied to about COVID, etc., we need to take that to heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, regardless of what the world does, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what those promulgating falsehoods and causing calamity, we need to place our trust and our faith and our hope in nothing less than Jesus Christ. And I believe, as we see in the Scripture, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy path. So I'm thankful for that understanding of the Scripture that should cause encouragement and hope and peace in the hearts and the lives of every hearer today. Dr. Sheftall, before we follow up with my questions in just a moment, I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. You're so right, and I was so, can I say ignorant? I took a Johnson & Johnson shot, but I didn't take another one, no booster or anything like that. But I think you're right, because it's just, I think the elitists are taking over because they think it's too many people on the planet, and they think that America needs to be shut down, knocked down a little bit, more than a little bit, like a third world country.
Kenneth, you've got some pretty good insights and thoughts there. Let me ask Dr. Sheftall, if you would, to respond to your statements and your question.
Yeah, I agree with Kenneth. I think it's very insightful what he mentioned. I've read about various elite people, if you will, money-wise, let's say, that do want to reduce the population. And it's not just Bill Gates. A lot of people talk about his former statements, which implied that he wanted to reduce the population.
That's because Bill Gates is a eugenist, as you know.
Go ahead.
Yeah. But I read a little bit about the Rockefellers, too, when I was trying to determine who was behind this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I spent, if you recall, 40 pages at the end of the book where I set up my case that it's the Rockefeller interests that are behind all of this. And there's a lot of reasons for it. That's why it took me 40 pages to list all the evidence. But I read a little bit about what David Rockefeller in particular, who is a far lefty, although when it came to their bank accounts, they got very conservative very fast, because I think they knew how their bread was buttered, if you will. Mm-hmm. But socially, he was very liberal, and he also believed in reducing the world population. which Elon Musk, of course, has gone in direct contradiction to. He believes that people are not having enough babies, and the truth is he's right.
Correct.
Countries like Japan, where the birth rate has dropped so much below what's sustainable, are in serious trouble. And so I think Elon is correct on that. Now, he's wrong on some things, not too many, because he's an amazing person and everything. But he was wrong a lot about modified RNA technology. He doesn't understand the major histocompatibility complex and the fact that any cell in the body that produces a foreign protein is going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
Now, why would he know that? He's not a doctor either, but of course he's famous for having read a book a day when he was younger.
That's right.
So he's read a lot, and he's very knowledgeable, but he was wrong on that. And I wish I could have a conversation with him sometime and explain it to him so he wouldn't embarrass himself on that anymore.
Thank you so much for that. Kenneth, did that answer your question?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you even today. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Dr. Reed Sheftall, a genius, as I call it, especially when we come to the conversation about COVID, COVID facts, COVID lies, et cetera, et cetera. Dr. Sheftall, let me run something by you.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking at two pages that's the end result of my search through ChatGPT. It is the AI search tool, and I asked the question, how is it, why is it, that the people have been so lied to and deceived about COVID? I thought it was a fascinating question, and they say, starts out, it's understandable why you feel that way. They go on to say the pandemic was confusing, it was politicized and full of conflicting messages, but the idea that Americans were intentionally lied to about COVID-19 isn't supported by evidence. Now, let me pause there. If we say that we were lied to by the media, we were lied to by the scientists, so-called, Dr. Sir Anthony Fauci, we were lied to by the politicians, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, would that be an understatement or a correct statement?
Now that's well, it's both the correct, you're correct,
yes,
Pastor, and it is an understatement. There were so many lies associated with this thing, it's unbelievable. I mean, you and I, honestly, could do this show for 2 years, every single day, just you and me, and we wouldn't cover all of it.
I believe it.
That's why I wrote a 2,000-page book about it, of which the first volume is the one that we're talking about. There's going to be 5 or 6 more volumes that come out, and I'm working on them now. I've written it all, but I need to polish each volume, as you know, to update and so forth, because I wrote them in the last 4 years. So more information comes in all the time, as you know. But here's the thing about ChatGPT. I hope everyone will understand this. It's a great tool. However, it's incorrect an awful lot. It has an extreme left bent to it.
Yes.
Because is all that ChatGPT can do is basically the same thing that Google does when it does a search for you. It reads every article written about the question you ask it instantly. And so it's only as accurate as the people that wrote those articles originally. Mm-hmm. So it thinks that you're confused about the deception that occurred.
Yes.
Now,
it's the public assumption based on what is stored in their memory bank.
That's right.
And so therefore
they're deceived too.
Yes.
In other words, ChatGPT is an innocent victim of it also.
Exactly.
Now, I used to have fun in front of my friends in Cambodia looking up ChatGPT and painting it into a corner, if you will, making it apologize to me for being wrong, which I can do very easily with COVID or climate change. It's just a tool. It's just a search engine, basically. It writes beautifully, though. You notice the first sentence was, I'm not surprised that you feel that way, you know? And it's interesting to play with it and sort of trick it into admitting that it was wrong, which I enjoy doing.
One of the things that this research response says is this. Later data showed that the reduced speed somewhat but were much more effective of preventing severe illnesses and hospitalization and even death. This shifting, is this where I'm going? This shifting information, according to the ChatGPT, was actually scientists updating and making their recommendations. What does that mean?
Well, it's an incorrect statement.
Right.
It did not reduce serious illness and hospitalization and so forth.
Never
and
did.
So on. No, because the vaccine is based on the genome of the virus. Mm-hmm. Of course it is.
Yes.
Because it's trying to make the RNA get translated into a protein. Okay? Mm-hmm. But the messenger RNA is based on the genome of the virus, which didn't exist. So they made a genome in silico, which I've explained a little bit to the audience before, but let me just review it. It means that it is made in a computer only. It doesn't exist in the real world. Just like I gave the example of Homer Simpson once. Just because Homer Simpson flaps his arms, yells at his kid, and hates his boss, it doesn't mean he's a real person.
That's right.
He's an in silico person, mm-hmm. if you will.
Right.
The reference being computers are made out of silicon chips, right?
Right.
Okay. And since this genetic sequence of the virus, the so-called SARS-2 virus, was made in silico and doesn't exist in the real world, and they registered that genome sequence at GSAID in GenBank, it was used by people all over the world trying to make the vaccines based on a fake genome. So there's no efficacy with the vaccine, and that's why it never worked. Again, tooting my own horn, and I apologize for it, but I was the first person to show in the world to show that the vaccine was not preventing people from getting the disease or transmitting it. And I did so on January 15th of 2021, less than a month after the vaccines had come out in Israel. And I used Israeli data because they were better at getting the shots into people's arms than we were in America, so I got data quicker. But everybody went against me. The data jocks at the CDC said it's impossible to figure it out that fast when I published it. Even Dr. Bhattacharya, my good friend, said, oh, no way you could have figured it out that fast. And so I said, did you use calculus, Dr. B? You know?
Mm-hmm.
No. And the data jocks in the beginning of April finally agreed with me. It took them that long to figure it out with conventional methods, but I used calculus, and it was very easy to show that it wasn't working. Of course, I knew already, because I knew that the SARS-2 virus didn't exist and the genome was fake, so I knew I was right. But I showed it, I proved it with statistics from their data, from Israeli data.
I understand you just spent some time with Dr. Bhattacharya. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're good friends, and he invited me to come up to Washington to see him because he's been named the NIH director, as everyone knows. Mm-hmm. And so I went up there, and of course, it was on a Sunday, so we didn't go by his office or anything, but we went by his where he lives, his house, and ate a couple meals together and went, dropped right back into debating like we always did while we were eating. And I told him, I said, Jay, you know the SARS-2 virus doesn't exist, you know. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I'm not willing to go there right now. You know, I'm not willing to go that far. He doesn't believe me. But, you know, you have to sort of see it from his perspective. If he starts coming out and telling the absolute truth about the thing, I think they, you know, there'd be so much uproar, it'd be unbelievable in political circles. And I don't have to be political because I don't have a job in Washington, so
that's
I can
right.
say what I want,
right.
which maybe is a better role for me mm-hmm. as an advisor rather than in a position
That'd
where
be an ideal role. Yes.
people would go crazy. Yeah.
yeah.
And he told me he wanted me to, on the ACIP panel, which is the, again, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices that RFK fired everyone from, but he's already filled it up again with new people, and I think they're good people. I watched that six-hour presentation. It was very good. But from Washington, after I spent a day with Jay, I went to MIT, which is my alma mater, of course, and went to the Broad Institute, which is a big molecular biology institute that's been built there at MIT and Harvard. And because I wanted to talk to some molecular biologists about some of my findings, and I couldn't hardly even get into the place. You know, they practically fingerprint you when you walk in, and if your fingerprint's not on file, they don't let you in. And I wanted to speak to Alina Chan, who's one of the postdocs there, but she wasn't there that weekend, so I didn't get to speak to her. I met her at the conference in Tampa that I went to. it was a great experience, you know, to go see Jay in his new environment after we had spent 24 hours debating COVID on the internet. And most of those are available on the internet, most of those debates between Jay and I. But do you know YouTube took some of them down?
I believe it.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
I mean, two well-meaning doctors talking about all these issues that were so important to the people, and YouTube's taking the videos down. Mm-hmm. Mainly because I was presenting my theories to Jay, and he was analytical about them, you know, to make sure they were correct. And when we came to a conclusion that the narrative didn't like, you know, the so-called government narrative, mm-hmm. they took our videos down. Mm-hmm. Can you believe it?
I believe it. In fact, I'm looking at a headline. RFK Jr. calls out CDC's, listen, disastrous failures. Why would it be a disastrous failure? I understand that it was a disastrous failure.
What was that, CDC?
RFK calls out CDC.
Oh, CDC,
CDC's
yeah.
disastrous failure.
Oh, horrible.
Horrible. So if we can look back now and see that it was a total failure, then we must analyze what were the failures. And most of the failures then were treated as truth, and we were lied to. I don't care what the officials say or others say. We were deceived. We were lied to. And it's my investigation that I was speaking about on ChatGPT.
Right.
It goes on to say, the shifting information sometimes felt like dishonesty, but it was actually the scientists just updating. And it goes on to say, to encourage vaccinations, officials sometimes communicated in overly absolute terms. You won't get infected, rather than conveying nuances saying you might get a lower rate of infection, etc. This article is proof that they're going back and trying to fill in the gaps and change the lies and make it look like it's like putting lipstick on the pig.
They're rewriting history.
That's right, rewriting history.
They lied really severely.
Absolutely.
Rochelle Walensky was the CDC director when the vaccines came out. Okay? And she said all the way into June and July of 2021 that if you get the vaccine, you can't get the disease. Mm-hmm. Okay? So did Biden in August, by the way, our president. Mm-hmm. And I had proved in January of the same year, 7 months earlier, that the vaccines were not keeping you from getting the disease or transmitting it. Now, Rochelle Walensky certainly isn't going to know who I am. Right?
Right.
But all the data jocks at the CDC did, because I published it. I made a video about it and everything. And Bhattacharya even knew about it. And this was before I knew him. So a lot of people knew about what I was saying that probably never gave me credit. But the data jocks at the CDC, even in April of 2021, they were saying that the vaccine's not preventing you from getting infection. That's when remember when Fauci and those guys at the beginning said it was 95% effective?
Right.
That was a little bit of a
Dr.
smoke
Fauci
and
Dr. Birx.
Huh?
Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx.
Oh, yeah, all of them. But that was a little bit of a smoke and mirrors, because they're talking about the relative reduction, not the absolute reduction in risk. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they were saying it was 95% effective, then
right.
it dropped down to 87%, then 73%. Do you remember all this?
Oh, yes.
And then 54, and then 41, and then 27.
27.
And then, you know, down to nothing.
Yes.
Because it never worked. Mm-hmm. Because it was based on a genome that doesn't exist in the real world. It only existed in silico. A computer assembled those pieces of RNA from the bronchoalveolar lavage fluid of the 41-year-old Chinese man who was one of the alumni of the Huanan Seafood Wet Market. Remember that theory?
Yes.
Well, that theory was debunked.
Absolutely.
And as soon as it was debunked, that should have been the end of this whole fraud.
Deception.
But it would not have accomplished the things they wanted to accomplish, which was to blame it all on Trump and so forth and have him lose the election. But I even made a video that proves that he did win the 2020 election. And
oh,
I don't know if you've seen
it
or not.
Oh, absolutely.
I got to show that video to you. Because everyone has mentioned to someone from the Heritage Foundation even sent me an email mm-hmm. and said, boy, I wish we'd known about you 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Because were convinced also.
I'm reading from some of your writings back some time ago. You said, and I'm quoting, you correct me if I'm wrong, the vaccines were designed to be ineffective and poisonous.
Yes.
Then you go on to say the PCR was not capable of finding new cases of, as CNN told us, every day.
That's 100% correct. Let me take those separately, but don't let me forget. Let me handle the PCR one first. The PCR is a test, which it's not even a test, excuse me. It's really an amplification process.
Yes.
But it was misused in this case to diagnose disease. But the only thing it can do is find little tiny little pieces of RNA in your nasopharynx. Remember they stuck that Q-tip way up in your nose?
Yeah.
Okay. Finding a little piece of RNA in the nasopharynx does not prove that you have a disease, okay, that's caused by viruses. You're just finding a little piece of RNA in there. And here's the tricky part. The way that those little pieces of RNA is found is by matching the PCR primer with that little piece and then amplifying it up to a great enough amount so that you can perform chemical tests on it, such as, is it there? Mm-hmm. Okay? So the PCR test is very, very good to find out if someone else's cooties are in your body and they shouldn't be, like in a rape case or something. Yeah. It's very helpful for that. But it's not helpful at all for diagnosing a disease.
Right.
It's not fit for purpose at all. All right, so forget about the PCR and CNN telling us there were so many new cases every day, because that was all based on a fake PCR test.
All right.
And by the way, here, let me give you an example of it. The WHO used a primer, promoted the use of a primer that's found on one of our chromosomes, one of our human chromosomes. So everyone that took that test with that primer was positive because they were human, if you will. Follow me?
Mm-hmm. Follow
okay.
You.
And what was the other part of your question? The very first part?
Relationship to a quote, the vaccines were designed...
Oh, yeah. Okay, let me explain that.
...ineffective and poisonous.
Yes. The vaccines were injected into your arm, right? Mm-hmm. So that means they make IgM and IgG only. They don't make secretory IgA. Secretory IgA is the antibody that comes out in your secretions, like your sweat, your urine, the secretions in your mouth from your mucous membranes, you know, like... what causes your mouth to stay wet and things like that. And that is the way that you supposedly inhale the aerosols of the virus into your body. But if the injection in your arm didn't make antibodies, secretory IgA antibodies, which would kill the virus when it came into your nose and mouth, then it's impossible for the vaccine to be effective. You follow me?
Right, follow you.
Because it only makes IgG and IgM. It doesn't make the kind of stuff that would block the virus from getting into you and getting into your lungs. So that means it's ineffective.
Yes.
Now, the reason that it was poisonous is because of the way that our immune system works. There's a thing called the major histocompatibility complex. And what that does is those are proteins that flow through your blood and find when a cell is making a foreign protein, such as a cancer cell. It's our cancer surveillance.
Yes.
We've all had cancer probably 10 times in our lives or maybe more, but that when the cell starts making foreign proteins, which cancer cells do, that cell gets destroyed by the CD8 T killer cells. That's part of our white blood cells system. And so when you get this vaccine injected into you, and imagine injecting it into a six-month-old baby for a second with a pure, beautiful body.
Yes.
It gets injected into the baby or an adult, and the lipid nanoparticles, which is what's in the vaccine containing the modified RNA, right? The vaccine it squirts lipid nanoparticles into you, and inside of each lipid nanoparticle, which is like an oil drop, is the modified RNA. That gets into the cell because the oil of the oil drop, the lipid nanoparticle, melds into the cell wall, which is a lipid bilayer, okay? So it delivers the modified RNA into the cell, and it finds a ribosome, it finds a ribosome. A ribosome will translate the message on that modified RNA into a protein. By definition, that's a foreign protein.
That's right.
Plus, modified RNA, the pseudouridination of it, causes frame shifting. So it makes all kinds of proteins that aren't self, if you will. And that causes the major histocompatibility complex, and the CD8 T killer cells to destroy that cell, and that's why it's a poison now.
Yes.
Remember, it's been proved that the modified RNA actually can cross the blood-brain barrier. So it destroys brain cells. It destroys liver cells. We already know that it accumulates in the ovaries. You remember that?
Right.
And yes. The testes. It destroys ova mm-hmm. in young women.
Fertility.
Yes. Again, it will reduce...
Population.
And let me say one more thing about the danger of the modified RNA vaccine getting into the ova of women or the testes of men with SV40 promoters on it and enhancers. If those messenger RNA sequences, those modified RNA sequences that make the spike protein, get into the gametes of the person, whether it's a little baby girl or a grown woman or whatever it is, she will pass that genetic material on to the next generation.
So what it does,
is that crystal clear?
Yes, it's a sterilization factor.
Yes, it is. And it will pass that so-called spike-producing information mm-hmm. onto the baby
yes.
of when this little baby grows up and has her own babies. She will pass it on to her children, and it will go from generation to generation. Now, a lot of people don't understand that, but that's absolutely correct. If it gets into the gametes, that's how the new baby's formed,
yes.
right? Gets so, one allele from the father and one allele from the mother. If either of those father or mother have modified RNA in their gametes, you know, their reproductive cells,
mm-hmm.
you know, ova and sperm,
right.
it will be in the result of that.
So if I've used the term several years now, that with the COVID shot, COVID injection, so-called COVID vaccination, it would either paralyze, sterilize, or kill. Is that a wrong statement?
Well, it's limited a little bit.
Yes.
It can do other things. I mean, it can cause bullous pemphigoid and all these bizarre diseases.
Yes.
If you look on that Appendix 1 of my book, you'll see all the lists of diseases that occurred from just one shot. And remember, the FDA wanted to hide all of this information for 75 years. Do you
yes.
remember all that?
Oh, yes.
It wasn't Pfizer that was trying to hide the information. The FDA was trying to hide it so that people wouldn't get onto them about all this ridiculous trial data they use to approve the vaccines.
Yes, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that we've had this privilege to come into your house today and or your car, wherever you're listening, and joining in the dialogue and discussion. We've been talking with Dr. Reed Sheftall. We've been talking about the COVID updates. So we're thankful that you've joined us. We pray that you'll tune in and join us next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB